Blog Talk Radio.
It doesn't seem to matter. It doesn't matter what your team is at this time of year. It doesn't matter whether you know you got a good team or a bad team. There's always just something so tremendously exciting about the opening part of Major League Baseball. Thanks again for joining us here on Frat House Sports' Cleanup Hitters. I am your host, Frat House Mike, coming to you here. And just like the regular season, well, this show now is for real. No more exhibition, as I'm being joined here by the Frat Boys. Yes, we got the Frat Boys here today, and Frat Boys joining me this evening will be Caleb and Sean, and I believe I have Sean, and I think Caleb's having a little bit of trouble getting in. I'm not sure. That's what he says. Yeah, he's having a little trouble connecting, but Sean, I got you here with me. You did okay jumping in with us here tonight?
Yes, I did. I had a great job coming in.
Good job. Good job. I'm not sure what to tell. Hey, Caleb, there, but I just try again, Caleb. That's all I can tell you. I don't know. Just as I pointed out, this show now for real, we will be joined by a guest at about 7:30 this evening, Eastern Time. We will be joined by Ryan Willis, good friend of ours here at Frat House Sports. Ryan's out there in the San Diego area, and well, he has his own program, What You Talking About Willis Show, and he'll be joining us here at about 7:30 because, my gosh, who saw this one coming? There was a big opening day trade that involved the San Diego Padres, and we'll talk about that. Not too many games going on. We have a couple, though, that I guess are just getting underway. By the way, folks, just as an update, Cardinals and Cubs, that game has been postponed. 7:10, we've got the Braves and the Marlins. We've got the Orioles and the Tampa Bay Rays at 8:10. These are all Eastern times. So you got the Rockies and the Milwaukee Brewers. 9:40, San Francisco Giants and the Arizona Diamondbacks. 10 o'clock, you got the Rangers, Athletics, Angels and Mariners, and the Padres and the Dodgers. And that's what is happening. Now, we had a bunch of games yesterday. We'll talk about some of those games. One of the things that kind of, I heard a little stat here, Sean, that kind of surprised me as I was preparing for the program this evening, and I didn't even realize it. Six teams yesterday had shutouts, and that's the most that's ever occurred on an opening day ever in the history of Major League Baseball. There were six teams with shutouts. Wow. I don't know if you knew that or not, but I
wasn't even paying attention to the scores. But now that I look at the scores, I mean, yeah, that's quite incredible for an opening couple of days.
The Rockies 10-0. Of course, the Phils lost 8-0. Tigers over the Twins yesterday 4-0. That's three of them. Anyhow, I'm looking down the scores here. Astros 2-0. Athletics over the Texas Rangers, 8-0. So, a lot of shutouts in yesterday's game. Let me see what is happening here with Caleb. Let me just send a note over to him real quick. Okay. Well, let's see if we can get him. All right. Hopefully we're going to get him in here. Anyhow. All right. One of the things I want to get into real quick on the front end of this, Sean, Skype isn't connecting, he says. His Skype connection isn't connecting. Well, let me these are the things that we have to do when you're on the fly like we are. Okay. All right, let me. Anyhow, we'll see what we'll see whether that works. All right. One of the things I want to get into, there was a situation out in I'm going now back to the Sunday game. Sunday, and to me, I'm going to play something here in a minute. I don't know, Sean, if you've ever heard our Frat House Saturday program, but on Frat House Saturdays, it's generally just me from 2 o'clock in the afternoon until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And what I generally do is I play clips and what have you from this past week on all the different programs. You were on it with me a couple of weeks ago prior to this show beginning. But sometimes on that program, what I have a tendency to get into a little self-righteous ranting. And I did so on Saturday. I'm going to play that in a second because it's only about a minute and a half long. But basically what I went off on was I went off on the fact that, they were promoting the Sunday, Easter Sunday game, the Cardinals and Cubs. The Cardinals were at Wrigley Field. They were promoting that as the opening day game. But to me, it was kind of stupid because there was really only one game. Anyhow, let me play this real quick, and then we can get into a little conversation about it. And we'll talk a little bit, too, about that Sunday game. This was from my Frat House Saturday program. And like I said, a little bit of self-righteous ranting here from me this past Saturday. And then, of course, we've got baseball kicking off tomorrow. And, I got just one question. Well, I got more than one, but I'm going to ask this one. First of all, let's just put it this way. We got final exhibition games going on today. And here's where I stand on it. Who cares? The exhibition season's far too long to begin with. That's it. Done. I'm not even going to report on what's going on. Who cares? Get the season going. That's where I am with it. Let's get this thing underway. But what I don't understand, tomorrow is opening day at 8 o'clock Eastern time with one stinking game. Are we kidding, Major League Baseball? That's the best you could do? Look, I understand. You want to hold back some of the games. You don't want all the teams starting at once. You want to give some teams a little more of a highlight because it's opening day. Fine, you could have picked out three games, three. Run one at 1 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and 8 o'clock. How about that? That sounds like a good plan to me. You get baseball all day long on Easter Sunday. I think that's terrific. We get one stinking game at 8 o'clock between the St. Louis Cardinals and the Chicago Cubs. You know what I say about that one? The same thing I say about today's exhibition games. Who cares? Get to see a Wrigley Field. Get to see a Wrigley Field that has absolutely no outfield grandstands. Nice job, Tom Ricketts out there at Chicago and all you folks over there at Wrigley. Nice job. That's the way to portray your, historic Wrigley Field. The only game that's going to be on television all day long. The only game that's being played. Great job. Kudos to you guys out there in Chicago. Way to go, Cubs. Honest to God. Seriously, Major League Baseball, do a better job, will you? Yeah, that was a little bit of self-righteous ranting on my part. I think we got Caleb. Caleb, you there, buddy?
Sure am. Sorry about that. I don't know what was up with that, man. Skype was definitely giving me some issues there, so sorry about that.
It happens. What are you going to do? We've all been there, trust me.
Technology.
yeah, for real.
It's wonderful, isn't it?
My favorite.
Can't live with it. Can't live without it.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, you didn't get a chance probably to hear any of it. I just played a little bit of a self-righteous rant from myself on my Frat House Saturday program, where I ripped into Major League Baseball for giving us an opening day game on Easter Sunday of only one game that came off at 8 o'clock in the evening at Wrigley Field, which was a stinking mess. Wrigley Field was a mess, folks. There were no outfield grandstands at all, also that they can accommodate their stinking Jumbotron and destroy the look of that historic stadium. And on top of all of that, you had people who couldn't get to the restrooms. Yeah, that's what we had on Sunday's game. That's a heck of a way to open up the season, Major League Baseball. Great job. I had made the recommendation. Seriously, it's Easter Sunday. There were no other sporting events going on. None. If you're going, I understand that they want to do a big to-do with a big opening day, brouhaha yesterday. I got it. That's good. Great. You could pull three games out. You could do a game at 1 o'clock, a game at 5 o'clock, a game at 8 o'clock. Why in the world are we waiting until 8 o'clock on Sunday for one game? That's the first issue. And then the second issue, of course, is what in the world? What were they thinking of with the whole Wrigley Field? I had heard a report, and I don't know if anybody else can back this one up or not. I had heard a report. Where was Chicago thinking? Were they actually playing around with the idea of going to Milwaukee for a portion of this season? I thought I had read that before the season began. I don't know if anybody else got that one or not.
I hadn't read anything about it, but it might be a great idea considering the condition of the stadium right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't heard it.
Just the fact that you're gonna start your opening day with an unfinished stadium that can accommodate all of your fans. I mean, fans can't even make their ways to the bathroom. They're having to pee in their own beer cups. I mean, like, it might be a great idea for them to go to Milwaukee Stadium. And if they're rumoring it, I mean, I'd just come out and say that you might.
Yeah,
it might be a great idea for them at this point.
Yeah, I should see if I could find that. But apparently that was one of the talks, that if in fact there was absolutely no way that they could begin the season, Chicago apparently had worked out a plan whereby both the Brewers and the Cubs would be able to play at, I don't know what Brewers Stadium now is called. I don't even know what it's called. I know it's a fairly new ballpark, but that they would play there. But then that was scrapped because the folks at Wrigley and I guess the Cubs themselves felt, well, okay, things are going to progress along enough that we're going to be okay. Well, obviously they were not okay for Sunday. As you just pointed out, I was trying to be really polite about it, but I mean, let's get it straight. I mean, that's all you saw on Monday were pictures of beer cups half full. But they weren't full of beer, that's for sure. That had to be just absolutely outrageous. Apparently, too, the report I read this evening was that they're bringing in all kinds of portable outhouses. Those are all now have arrived at Wrigley Field. I'm going to tell you, that's got to be a wonderful sight. Here's this incredibly historic ballpark, and this is what you're coming to. I wish I'd gotten to Chicago years ago. That's one ballpark I never got to, and I don't know if I really want to go there, now, and you can't see the rooftop grandstands that people used to have out there in the neighborhood around there. You won't be, that's all been obliterated. I don't know.
You may have to wear a catheter if you go.
Oh, outstanding. Outstanding. If anybody wants to jump in on this lovely conversation, please don't hesitate to do so. 347-826-9964. That's how you can get in with us. 347-826-9964. Excuse me, if you are Skype capable, at least we know Caleb was, but he was having a little trouble. I don't know. But if you're Skype capable and you're listening via computer, if you want to jump in that way, I guess you can get in that way. I would like to think you could. Put you through to us loud and clear. Chat room's wide open. I see we got quite a few guests in there. Or if you prefer, you can hit me up on Twitter @FratHouseMike. Yesterday was the real opening day. And Caleb, anything jump off the screen at you, off the scoreboard? One of the things I was pointing out to Sean before you jumped in here was the one of the facts apparently I just learned about pre-show, there were six shutout games in yesterday's opening day. That's the most ever in Major League Baseball. There were six.
Wow.
But did anything? Was there anything that jumped off? Any surprises that jumped out at you, or anything that came off the come off the page? I'm looking at the Rockies. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would say the Rockies, like you were just saying there. I mean, 10-0 on the Brewers there. Personally, I think that the Rockies are going to end up probably finishing as one of the worst teams in all of baseball. So that was amazing to see them jump to that huge of a lead against the Brewers. Yep. So that I would say that that game would was probably the biggest game there for me that really jumped out at me. But yeah, I mean, there were a lot of great games. I mean, I'm looking at the games. I was watching the Astros and the Indians, and man, that was a pitching duel until about the sixth or seventh inning. They finally got some hits happening, but man, they were just pitching back and forth. And I mean, it was a great game for a defensively game. But as a fan, you know, you obviously want to see some offense. So from that point, like you said, I mean, six shutouts. I mean, that's fantastic for the
pitching. But a lot of those shutouts were lopsided. A lot of them were lopsided. You did get, you know, you did get the offense, but it was a lopsided offense. It was offense all one way. The Athletics won 8-0. Boston Red Sox won 8-0 over the Phils. We just pointed out that Colorado game was that was a 10-0. In fact, they had 16 hits in that game, the Rockies did. One of the other facts I had heard with regard to yesterday, too, was that I think there were four pitchers, and you're talking about the pitching duels. There were four games, four different pitchers. Don't ask me to cite who they were. But there were four pitchers that had no hitters going into the sixth inning. So you did have a little bit of everything to open up opening day. You had some offense, you had the shutouts, but you also had the defense and you had the pitching duels, as you pointed out. So a nice kind of a well-rounded way of opening up the season, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and one of the other guys that you were just mentioning there was Corey Kluber. He took a no-hit bid to the sixth inning there. And obviously Sonny Gray went all the way to the eighth, I believe. And I don't know who the other ones were, but I knew that the Astros, their starter, can't think of his name, but I know that he went a couple innings, probably four or five, that were scoreless and hitless. So he might have been one of them. Trying to find that. But, yeah, it was a great day for pitching in general.
Oh, for the Astros?
Yes. Yeah.
Kuchel?
Yeah. Let me see here.
Well, he got the win, anyhow. Kuchel got the win.
Yeah.
All right.
How about the New York Mets and the Washington Nationals, though? Real well going into the sixth inning, and then that the error at second base, there's a miscommunication, and ball drops in, Scherzer loses touch a little bit, and they end up losing that game just because of that one error.
There were some folks that were saying, too, that one's got to kind of irk the Nats a little bit because, first of all, that was a home loss they took. That was their opening day home opener. And here's the team right now that is, preseason being crowned probably the best team in baseball, and they lose to the Mets. So, that's got to be rankling. That's got to be rankling some of the folks, I would think, down in Washington. But, all right. Well, there's a few of the things that were jumping off from yesterday. Like I said, not as many games going on today, and it seems a lot more of them today are actually in the West Coast. A lot of folks take this day. I'm assuming it's done that way on purpose in the schedule. Let's schedule, we open on Monday, and everybody will take Tuesday off. Just in the event, I guess, that there's bad weather on Monday, and then you got to make it up on Tuesday. So a lot of teams actually are not playing today, but will be picking up action again on Wednesday. So I guess I'm assuming that is the that's the rationale, the thinking for why they do that. I've often wondered. I don't know. Does anybody have do we know for sure? I mean, I'm assuming that's what the rationale is. We ever recognize
yeah.
that?
I mean, I've seen that, and you know, for me, I mean, I guess that's the only thing that would make sense. But I am not a big fan of that because it's kind of a tease. Like, hey, here's one singular game, and now I have to wait a day. Like, mm-hmm. and now I realize there's 161 more games, but after watching one baseball game, and especially for me, for the Pirates, because we lost, you know, I want to see us try to bounce right back, but I have to wait an extra day. And, I mean, I guess that it would be for the weather, but I'm not exactly sure what reasoning other than that they might have. Maybe, you know, ratings or something like that. But other than that, I mean, I really can't think of why they would want to do that there.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of is, you know, early in April. And I recall, I'm thinking to myself, it had to be, when was it? Was it two seasons ago? Might have been three seasons ago now. Does everybody remember out there in Colorado at the Rockies how many games they had that were postponed in the month of April because of
mm-hmm.
snow?
Snow,
oh
yeah,
my gosh,
I remember that.
Ridiculous.
Yep, I remember that. It was, I think it was 2011 opening day, I want to say, maybe 2010, but they were hammered. They got a couple feet. I mean,
yep.
they just got hammered. And I just can't even, like, imagine being, hey, baseball's finally back, and we get hammered with a foot. Like, that's nuts. That's crazy to me to think that.
I remember seeing pictures of the owner out there on the field shoveling snow off. And here was the thing, too, that I recall. There in Colorado, it wasn't like just one day. There was like opening day was delayed. That was pushed off a day or two. And then like the week thereafter, there was another snowstorm that came through. And that delayed even more games. And then there was another game that they had like three or four games that were postponed in the month
mm-hmm.
of April because of snow. So,
yeah.
Wow. You know. Although, where was I seeing pictures? Might have been up in northern New York yesterday. They got nailed with a load of snow. I think just yesterday up in northern New York. So it's still that time of year. That's the whole point.
Well, I was going to say with the way the weather was going in Pennsylvania, I'm surprised we don't have any snow right now.
Well, it was beautiful. It was beautiful here yesterday and today. But boy, tomorrow I think we're only supposed to have a high of like 40. So it's, you know, April is it's so up and down, so fickle. You just never know what to expect.
Spring is so close yet so far away.
You're not
for
kidding
us here in Pennsylvania.
You are absolutely right. That is for sure.
Well,
we're going to be joined
here down here in Nashville. So
yeah, hold on. I've got something. I did put something in here that when. Darn. I can't find it. Oh, no, there it is. Yeah, there's something I can throw it. Yeah, there you go. I just threw a tomato. at you. Anytime you bring up a really nice weather down there, I'll just, you know. And if you keep doing it, then I get to hit you with a bump. Anyhow, we're going to be joined here momentarily, a couple of moments. By a good friend of Frat House Sports, is Ryan Willis from San Diego. And we're going to get talking to him about a trade that took place before the season even began for the Atlanta Braves and the San Diego Padres. And we're going to talk about that one here in a couple of moments. Real quick, I'll get into my Today in Baseball History story. I found this one. I'm a big fan. I'd like to think you guys know who Frank Sinatra is. 1977, Frank Sinatra kept his promise to Tommy Lasorda by singing the Star Spangled Banner on opening day at Dodger Stadium. So I am sure that Vin Scully could tell us all about that one. We have to see if we can get Vin Scully on the air a show with us one of these days. That would really be cool, huh? I'm sure he could tell us all about that one. But apparently, no. Sinatra and Lasorda were real close friends. And, of course, Lasorda was originally from this region right here in this area. Norristown and New Jersey and all that, he was all from this particular section of the country. And, of course, Lasorda and Sinatra being paisans and folks from the same area as well, they had a very good friendship, and so he made a commitment to Tommy Lasorda to come out and sing the Star Spangled Banner. 1977, that happened on this day. Thought that was a cute little tidbit of useless information. We got Ryan with us. I want to bring Ryan in because I want to get to this trade. Let's get Ryan Willis in here with us. Ryan, how are we doing tonight, buddy?
Good. How you guys doing?
All right. Ryan is joining us. Ryan Willis is joining us from San Diego, and is the host of What You Talking About Willis Show. Hey, tell us a little bit real quick, Ryan, before we get into talking about the Padres and talking about this trade. Tell us a little bit about this show. Is this a new show for you?
Yeah, I left KKSM AM 1320, and now I'm hosting a podcast show for College Primetime Radio, and it's basically all about college sports. So the last couple of weeks, I've obviously been talking about March Madness, and then I'll be talking about the draft coming up. So pretty excited about this new show.
So it's pretty much geared towards college sports. Is that what you're hearing?
Yes.
Okay. And can anybody pick up the podcast anywhere? How do you get to it?
You can download it on iTunes, or if you have an iPhone, your phone automatically comes with the podcasting app. So you can just type in College Primetime Radio, and my show should pop right up for you.
All right. Very good. What You Talking About Willis Show. That's what you want to be looking for. Now, it's been running for a couple of weeks. Is that right?
Yes. That's correct.
How did you do with your NCAA bracket talk?
It wasn't too horrible. I had Duke and Kentucky in the national championship game. So I was pretty close. I had Kentucky winning it all, though, not Duke. So,
yeah.
But just considering the fact that I got one team in the championship game, that's good enough for me.
I think I read this morning that only 10% of the people that played brackets had Duke winning it all. Only 10%. You know, you can't count Duke. Yeah, I know. But see, that's because Kentucky was such a heavy, heavy, heavy favorite. So, all right, anyhow.
I picked against Kentucky, considering they were undefeated and everything, but Wisconsin kind of took it to them there.
Right. All right, well, let's get into a little bit of Padres chat here, because we are on a all-baseball program. Just to remind everybody out there that's listening, this is a baseball program. We're not talking about the NCAA. the Padres, I was just saying, Padres and the Braves made what some are calling, in fact, I don't know. I don't know if I would necessarily call it a blockbuster, but there were some folks, I guess, either yesterday or the day before on ESPN that were referring to it as a blockbuster trade. Going over to the Padres, you got Craig Kimbrell. I guess that's really the big, big thing that you got. You got Upton, too. But really the big thing that came out of it was getting Craig Kimbrell out of this deal. Talk to us a little bit about this, because I'm going to be honest with you. I was kind of scratching my head thinking to myself, why? I don't get why the Braves would be looking to trade so early, even before the season began. And I'm not sure. In fact, I've got a couple of analyses here that said, well, the Padres really don't need another closer. What's going on here?
Well, I would disagree with that. The Padres definitely needed a closer. They were going into the season planning on having Joaquin Benoit be the closer. And, Benoit has been around a really long time. He's more than capable of doing it, but his more natural slot is to be the setup man. So I think getting Kimbrel is huge. I think this could honestly be a move that puts us over the top in the National League West. I consider him to be the best closer in all of baseball. But, yeah, it was definitely a surprise, mainly because the trade happened the day before opening day. You know, that just kind of came out of nowhere. But, obviously, as a Padre fan, super stoked about it.
What do you think the Braves' motivation is here? I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. If I'm a Braves fan, I'm not too terribly pleased with them right about now.
Oh, yeah, not at all. I mean, they've gotten rid of everybody. They got rid of both Uptons, who are now both in San Diego. I'm not really sure what they're thinking. I guess they're just looking at building up their farm system and getting as many top prospects as they possibly can and just dump a bunch of salary. That's the only thing I can come to the conclusion.
Yeah, any thought, Sean or Caleb, on this? I mean, what in the world would motivate the Braves to do this? I mean, I had read somewhere that this was a clear indication that, in fact, let's use the word everybody wants to use nowadays for sports, that this was absolutely a motivation on the part of the Braves to tank the season.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that I was shocked, first off, by that trade, because that's basically like trading your season away. Now, I realize that not one singular player will make up a ball club, but Kimbrel, I think he's the best closer in the game, like Ryan, he just said there. And I don't see why the Braves would trade him away, but maybe they knew something that we didn't know, because right now they are up 6-0 in the top of the first inning against the Marlins. And, yeah, they're looking really good right now, so maybe they were actually right on this trade.
I would have to say that they are doing very well right now. We'll have to see how that carries over to the rest of the season, obviously. I mean, it's just the beginning stages. But I think, I mean, a lot of us were talking at the beginning of the season thinking that the Braves really weren't going to be in contention this season. So thinking the fact that Kimbrel could have been a waste of talent on this team, and the fact that they got so many prospects for him from the Padres, I mean, this could definitely be a step in the direction of the Braves possibly giving up on the season and just looking to work up their farm system at this point. Although, going along with Caleb, I mean, maybe they did something right, because so far they're showing a not-so-bad potential for the season.
I'm just shaking my head because, one of the teams that's been, I guess the team right now that is being promoted, if we could say promoted, as potentially the worst team in baseball is the Philadelphia Phils. And you don't see them going out right before opening day and making major trades. I know that there has been talk that, perhaps maybe Cole Hamels could find his way to the West Coast. But I don't know. I don't get it. I'm scratching my head. One of the things, I don't know if you saw this one or not, Ryan, though, over at Hardball Talk yesterday, headline was Padres just don't need Craig Kimbrel. And they, in fact, went through a whole process where they outlined it and said, this was not one of, there are needs for the Padres, but that this wouldn't have been a high, high priority. Was this the Padres perhaps striking at an opportunity because perhaps maybe the word was out there that this is what the Braves wanted to do? Maybe they're just grabbing it up at this point right now because the Braves wanted to make the move now?
Yeah, I would say that's a good possibility. Really, I don't understand why so many of the so-called experts aren't really liking this trade. I think it's an incredibly awesome trade. I mean, anytime you have a chance to add one of the greatest players at his position in the entire major leagues, why not jump on it? And, the Padres had to give up their top pitching prospect, Matt Whistler, but they also traded over Cameron Maybin and Carlos Quinton, who have been with the Padres for the last several years and have literally done for this franchise, and they're making quite a bit of money as well. So I think it was a pretty good trade, mostly for the Padres. I mean, the Braves got Whistler, the top pitching prospect, and they got a draft pick. But, I mean, come on. You're getting the greatest closer in the game right now. How is that not a good thing?
Yeah. Yeah, one of the other things I wanted to point out to you, and I think I've heard it now twice, and you're going to be happy to know that one of the places I heard it was last night on ESPN SportsCenter, where they actually made reference to the Padres making, you know, talking about this trade and saying, well, it's evident that the Padres are making the push to be serious World Series contenders. Now, I got to be honest with you. That's, although I did hear another media outlet make reference to it that way, perhaps maybe with the exception, though, of a handful of San Diego locals, I got to be honest, I can't necessarily say that I've heard a lot of national media making reference to the Padres as potential World Series contenders. Any thoughts on that one?
Well, I would say that's, you know, the usual when it comes to the San Diego market. We usually do get overlooked quite a bit. But, I mean, I definitely think that they are serious playoff contenders, and obviously if they get to the playoffs, then why not? I mean, they certainly could be World Series contenders. I mean, they got the pitching staff to get it done. I mean, their starting rotation, you know, they have James Shields, they got Tyson Ross, who was an all-star last year. Andrew Kashner is a hell of a pitcher, very underrated. He just has a hard time staying healthy. They got Ian Kennedy, who's been around for a while. And then their bullpen was already considered one of the best in all of baseball. And now they've added Kimbrel. So really it's all going to come down to, can they score enough runs? And considering that they have Matt Kemp and Justin Upton now in the middle of their lineup, I say, why not?
What's the status on B.J. Upton? I'm noticing, of course, now in this move, he was on the 15-day DL. What's the word from Padres camp at this point?
I heard he's supposed to be returning sometime in May.
Okay.
All right. He'll be the fourth or fifth outfielder.
Aside from, you know, I guess last week we here on the program in our preseason edition, one of our three preseason editions, we broke down the National League West, and the guys and I, we put in our predicts for how the National League West would line up. And two of our guys on our panel had the Padres coming in second place behind the Dodgers. I actually had them coming in third place behind the Giants. I guess, you know, I recognize that you're out there and you're a Padres fan yourself. But realistically, where do you see the NL West lining up this year?
You know, I really feel like it's going to be mostly the Dodgers and the Padres this year. I mean, obviously you can never count out the Giants, especially considering they just won the World Series. But they did lose Pablo Sandoval and Michael Morse, who were in the middle of their lineup last year. So I'm kind of wondering how in the world they're going to score. And I believe, check me on this, guys, I think Hunter Pence is on the DL right now, isn't he?
I'm just checking that right now, actually.
I'm pretty sure that he is, yeah.
Like the first couple of months of the year.
Yeah, I want to say that he's out until about May. And then Matt Kane is got some soreness in his right flexor tendon that could potentially lead to him being on the DL for at least 15 days, possibly more. So right there's a pitcher out, Alma. He got scratched from his start on Wednesday already, so he could be out for a couple weeks, so that could also hurt them.
Yeah,
Hunter Pence is 15-day DL for Hunter Pence right now, the way it's listed on the roster.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, obviously once Pence comes back and if Kane can come back, that could change things. But I'm just looking at the Giants right now. They are just nowhere near the same type of club as they were last year, at least on paper. So I really think it's going to be a two-team race between the Pods and the Dodgers. Like I said, it wouldn't surprise me if the Giants sneak up on everybody near the end of the year, but I'm looking at the Padres to be right there with the Dodgers. You know, obviously everybody's picking the Dodgers to win the West. I can see why. You know, you got Kershaw and Greinke at the top of that rotation, so it's hard to argue with that. But I think the Padres definitely have the pitching staff and now the lineup to contend with the Dodgers, and it really could go either way, in my opinion.
Well, if it's any consolation to you, one of the running jokes out here in my neck of the woods on the East Coast, on some of the sports talk radio programs out here that I listen to, is that the Dodgers are the Dodgers, and let's get it straight. They're going to do this year what they always do to everybody, and that is they're going to get everybody in a lather, and then they won't deliver. So that could actually, if that turns out to be true, and of course we're a bit cynical, I suppose, out here in the East, if that turns out to be true, and your Padres are as good as, well, at least as good as ESPN SportsCenter is mentioning last night, and as good as you're mentioning right now, it's very, very possible they could be sitting solo at the top of the NL West. Hard to believe. Hard to believe. It really is to me.
It is. It is. You know, I've been a lifelong Padre fan, and I think I mentioned this the last time I came on your show, but this is really the first year I've been legitimately excited about baseball season, probably since 1998, which, of course, was the year the Padres went to the World Series. So it's kind of cool to actually have expectations for the local baseball team this year.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm sure
wow.
That's quite a luxury out there in San Diego, unlike here in Philadelphia.
Well, you know, though, I don't know. I don't mean this in any sort of maligning sort of way, but, you know, I've been following baseball now for more years than I care to mention, 40-plus years. And, you know, for all the static, I suppose, we here in this area want to put on the Philadelphia Phillies, the Padres really, for almost all of those 40 years that I remember, have not been a good team. I mean, that's the bottom line. You look at the West and you just say, you look at it, you know, prior to the season beginning, and you go, oh, the Padres? Oh, yeah, that's right. They're out there. Well, they'll be near the bottom. I mean, seriously, that's just kind of the thing you do. And I don't know. I guess in some respects, like Ryan's saying, you know, we as sports fans have a tendency, particularly when our own team is out of it, you have a tendency to want to root for an underdog. San Diego would be viewed as an underdog. There's no doubt about it. Yes? San Diego, Ryan, I would think, is looked at as an underdog in San Diego, are they not?
Oh, absolutely. I would say all the time. But, you know, for whatever reason, the ownership here has decided that they're going to spend some money for a change. And it's kind of made me wonder, like, where the hell was this, you know, 5-10 years ago? Why has it taken so long for the Padres to finally open up their checkbook and say, hey, let's bring in some decent players? But what the heck? I'm not going to complain now. We got a very good team here. And, yeah, I mean, people are still going to look at us as underdogs. I get that. You know, we still have to prove that we belong and we can go out there and get some W's. But, like I said, it's just nice to actually have some expectations this year as opposed to, you know, just last year. I was like, oh, cool, opening day, Padres. Okay, when does football season start?
Well, yeah. I just put that up yesterday, actually, on my own personal Facebook page. There was a picture of opening day down at Citizens Bank Park here in Philadelphia, the team that is expected to be the worst team in Major League Baseball this year. And I said, boy, oh boy, isn't there something just about opening day? It's just, opening day is just great. And I said, ah, yeah, come on, just get it straight. After opening day, all it is just another countdown day until when does NFL season begin? That's it. I wish the Padres all the best because, frankly, I got to be honest with you, I'm sick of the Giants. And like so many people out here, I kind of think the Dodgers are frauds. But that's just like I look at the Dodgers as being the Yankees of the West. That's what they are. They're the Yankees of the West. And so they're frauds.
They can get whatever player they want.
Exactly. All right, anybody else here on the panel have anything for Ryan, any questions or anything you want to throw out to Ryan before we let him go on?
I think we've heard everything that he has to say about the Padres trade there.
All right, very good. Very good. Ryan, thank you for joining. I appreciate it. Listen, all the best to the Padres as well. We'll be following it here. We'll get you back on when they occasionally as things pop out there in the West. How can everybody get hold of you? Give us all your details, your Twitter, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at WackyWillis90, or you can look me up on Facebook. You can look me up on my Facebook page. Just type in facebook.com/TheRyanWillisShow, or you can even try us out at College Primetime Radio. You can follow us on there as well.
There you go. What you talking about, Willis Show? There you go. For everything you want to get into about college sports, and I guess what you said the next big thing is the draft.
Yes, sir. I'll be talking about that probably starting next week.
Yeah, I guess so, right? That's only what? That's about 3 weeks away. All right, Ryan, thanks for joining us tonight. I appreciate it.
No problem, guys. Take care.
All right, take care. All right, Ryan Willis there joining us from San Diego to give us a lowdown on that trade. I'll tell you guys, that one just really had my head scratching. I don't get it, and I got to tell you something. But, you know, we joke here about how lackadaisical the Atlanta fan base is. And you know something? It seems that way across the board. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about the Braves or the Falcons or the Hawks. It doesn't matter. Atlanta sports, they're just, ugh, you know? They just, the fan base down there is just, so I guess maybe the fans down there, I should have tuned in today to some Atlanta sports talk radio and seen what the sentiment was down there. If I were a sports fan, a Braves fan in Atlanta, I would not have been happy about this situation at all. None. But, all right, I want to get into something else here that came across in the past couple of days, the situation with Josh Hamilton. This thing got really kind of a little bit strange, in my opinion, because apparently, and guys, help me out here if I don't have the facts exactly right on this. Apparently, Major League Baseball, there's not going to be any kind of real penalty toward Josh Hamilton from Major League Baseball. There won't be any suspension. They want him to go through, I guess he's going through some sort of rehab at this point right now, and we'll see what the timeline is on that. We've already talked about it here on this program. Frankly, my attitude is I think somebody like Josh Hamilton, considering how many times now we're talking about with this poor guy, I mean, I say poor guy, but I guess some of it's self-inflicted. But I just think he needs to take as much time as he possibly needs to find a way to get past all of his problems. But apparently Major League Baseball has determined that there will be no sort of penalty. But at the same time, there have been reports coming out of the Angels management and administration that they thought there would be, should be, could be, I guess really the operative word there is should be. I was a little bit taken back by the Angels management on this one. Any thoughts on this one? I mean, this is kind of a role reversal from what we're used to in other sports. A lot of times in other sports, particularly, I guess I'm talking about, AKA the NFL, you got the league coming down on a player, and it's the team that's coming out and supporting the player. Here you got the league coming out and saying, hey, no penalty to the player. And the team is coming out going, are you crazy?
I mean, I think there could be a couple of factors, like going into the clashing of heads between the league and the team. I mean, definitely in this situation, Josh Hamilton, he's a big name in the MLB. And, I mean, they'd be losing a big face and a big name in the sport of baseball in the present day. So I'm thinking the league isn't, like, they don't want to be losing a bunch of their big names on all these charges, on, like, drug charges. And I don't know all the details about how the MLB's drug laws and everything are, the rules against that. But I think the team is actually trying to get their player to take responsibility for what he did. I mean, he was sober for 3 years. Everyone had thought he'd come off of it. He was doing a great job, and then all of a sudden he goes back, has some personal issues, goes back, coming off of his 3 year sobriety, goes back, does cocaine, does alcohol. So I mean, I think that's where the clashing of heads comes in, and it's the role reversal from the rest of the sports, is the fact that the league is trying not to lose such a big face in the MLB, whereas the team's trying to get their player to take responsibility for the actions he took.
I'm gonna depart from you a little bit here, Sean, because I gotta be honest, I'm not sure that Josh Hamilton is that big a face of the league.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are a lot of other players I could point to before I would point to Josh Hamilton. And Josh Hamilton, if anything, I think has become the face of the type of situation that he is in right now. He's the face of addiction is what he is. I don't know if he's necessarily the face of Major League Baseball. And I'm not sure that Major League Baseball gives, I'm going to be perfectly blunt, I don't know if they really give a damn about trying to protect him. We're not talking about, you know, I don't know, give me a name right now that's, you know, well, I said it the other day. I guess I said it a couple of weeks ago. You know, I think Andrew McCutchen, personally, is a guy that should be the face of baseball right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's
I would
who I
agree
think
with
should
that.
Be the face of baseball. If we were talking about Andrew McCutchen, I might say, okay, maybe Major League Baseball is trying to protect the face of their league. I'm not sure if I would put Josh Hamilton in that category. I don't know. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that he's not a face of baseball now. He was when he won the MVP in, I believe, 2010 there. Yeah, I would say then that, yeah, he was one of the faces of Major League Baseball because he won an MVP. But now he's kind of fallen off. And, you know, personally, this is my personal opinion on the whole thing here, but I just think that almost because he came out and he admitted it first before there were any charges, any investigations, anything like that, he just said, hey, I messed up, I'm sorry. And I feel like baseball kind of had pity on him in a way, almost. But there was a statement here released by Major League Baseball, and they had to bring in an outside arbitrator to really decide, because apparently there was a tie between baseball's representatives and the Players Association. Now, it doesn't say who voted yes or no on him having some sort of a fine, a suspension, something like that. But they had to bring in somebody to break a tie, and that arbitrator said that he did not violate the treatment program for him. So, I mean, you know, take that for what it's worth, but you know, I think that Hamilton should have been given something. Now, he is out until May or so with an injury to his shoulder. But, you know, baseball here, I'm not exactly sure what they were trying to get at, because like you had said, Mike, that, you know, if it was in the NFL, so somebody would have gotten a fine, a suspension within 2 days max. They would have gotten something. But here, he got absolutely nothing.
If we go back to, you know, when I'm just sitting here as you're talking, Caleb, and thinking about Josh Hamilton and, you know, I guess his career, and when he was at his peak. You know, when he was at his peak, and maybe it was the year that you just mentioned there. I'm not sure if it was the same year or not. But I recall the All-Star game where he went out, and I guess he was involved in the home run derby. What was that, maybe four seasons ago, maybe five now?
Yeah, I think that was the same year that
the
MVP in 2010. I want to say that it was either that year or 2011, one of those seasons there.
And I just recall during that whole, you know, lead up to that, you know, that evening, that broadcast, and you're watching the broadcast of the home run derby, and, you know, they're talking about how Josh Hamilton has come back, and wow, what a feel-good story this is, and this guy's made it all the way back, and I don't know, he had like his little league, I think he had like his little league coach out there throwing the ball to him while he
mm-hmm.
was, you know,
mm-hmm.
It was just, you know, this one of these, you know, they really, really pumped it up as big, and you know something? I bought it. You know, I'm sitting there, I'm watching the home run derby, and I'm going, yeah, you know what, Boomer, you're right. That is a great story. And then all of a sudden it all falls apart. You know, and you're talking mm-hmm. too about the fact that, you know, he can't, you know, it was Josh Hamilton that stepped forward and said, hey, I messed up, I screwed up, it was my fault. He didn't wait until he got caught.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And so maybe Major League Baseball, is giving him a bit of a pass for that because he stepped up. But you know what I got to say? This is not the first time Josh Hamilton has stood up. He's done this before. This has become a pattern with him, is it not? He did this
mm-hmm.
once before where he stood up and said, oh, yeah, listen, I fell off the wagon. Guess what? There was about a month ago or a month and a half ago, I fell off the wagon and I went out and I was at the bar for two straight days. He did this to us a couple of seasons ago. And so what you're seeing is you're seeing this. That's the pattern of an addict. That's the pattern of – and see, he seems to think that every time he just steps forward, that he steps up and takes I'll step up. I'll take responsibility for my actions. And everybody will forgive me. I don't know, though. See, I think at some point or another, we got to get to the point where, you know, I can't turn the other cheek again. I can't do it. I can't do it again. See, you've done this now. This is becoming a pattern with you. And that's why I'm saying I think somebody like Josh Hamilton needs to take as much time as he possibly needs to get past all of this. And I guess in some respects, I'm not saying that I agree or I disagree with Major League Baseball on this. Perhaps maybe Major League Baseball's thinking was to sanction a penalty against this guy would be to force him to go deal with his problems. And maybe what we don't want to do with this guy is force him. Let him do it on his own. And if he's doing it on his own and he's not being forced to comply with it, perhaps it'll be more sincere. You understand what I'm saying?
But he's done it mm-hmm. before, like you were saying. He's done this same thing multiple times throughout his career. And if they're going to keep giving him the benefit of the doubt, letting him do it himself, and then he comes back and does the same thing every couple of years, I mean, is that really helping?
Yeah, well, I
think
hear
it's
you.
The question that we need to look at.
Sure. I agree with you. And you know something? There may not be any league that can answer that question. That may be something that somebody close to a Josh Hamilton, you know, a confidant, a mentor, somebody, that's a conversation that perhaps maybe someone close to that man has to have in order to deal with that situation. Because obviously something's not working. He has not been the same player going out to Los Angeles. I don't know whether there had been some thinking that perhaps maybe with a change of scenery he might, you know, that it might have gotten better. I don't know. But I don't know. It was it to me. It was just interesting. I found the whole what's the word I want? The machinations of it all rather interesting that we were dealing with kind of a reverse situation where Major League Baseball comes out and says, hey, no fine, no penalty, no suspension, and the team, however, at the same time, you know, I started reading into it, and I'm going, maybe the team wants to unload them. I mean, could that be part of the motivation? Could it be the team wants to, it's hope, you know, maybe they wanted Major League Baseball to do something so that they would have a reason to finally be done with the guy? You think that could have been it?
Yeah, I definitely think that could have some sort of a factor in this that, you know, they're hoping to get rid of that contract so that they could go either make a trade, go sign somebody, you know, maybe somebody in the farm system they have that they're really wanting to try to bring him up, you know, for things like that. So, yeah, I definitely think that one of the reasons why the Angels were kind of confused and not necessarily angry with Major League Baseball, but they were just really confused as to what their ruling was probably because of money, because once again, this is a business.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly what the terms are of his contract, but it would seem to me that based on his previous history, it would seem to me that any good team is probably going to write into a contract with somebody of his nature, you know, some sort of a opt-out, you know, that
yeah,
if it's determined that, in fact, you know, if it's determined that you've been using illegal drugs if you have a recurring alcohol issue, then, you know, it's going to give us the right to opt out of the contract.
Yep. Here's his contract right here. This is this is probably why. 5 years, $125 million. There's your reason right there. Making $25 million a year.
Yep. 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 And that's one of the things we're going to get into next year in a moment. But in the across the league, he is the fourth highest paid player right now in all of Major League Baseball at $25 million a year. $25 million a year. So, but unlike the NFL, in Major League Baseball, contracts are a lot more binding. So I don't know what would be in his contract, but potentially would allow, say, the Angels to opt out of his contract. There has, I would think, that just based upon his history and his previous activity, I would think that the Angels probably had some sort of clause or clauses in there with regard to, you know, his habit and his addictions, and, you know, if it were found that he were, you know, I would think. I'm talking out loud here. I don't know for a fact. See, that's the whole thing. I don't have a copy of his contract exclusively in front of me to know for sure, but it's just a guess on my part.
Yeah, I would think that every single athlete would have some sort of a clause or clauses, like you said, and somewhere in there that if you do certain things, you know, get a DUI, something like that, you know, fall into an addiction that you've had in the past, whether it be drugs or alcohol, whatever, you know, that they have a right or some sort of a loophole to get out of that contract within the rules of baseball itself, to not take really a cap hit, but there's not really a salary cap, so I'm not exactly sure how that would actually work in that sense, because I know that in the NFL, you know, you have to be really, really careful with your players, because, you know, you have only, you know, I want to say 90, maybe $100 million dollars, and that's it, you know? And so you have to kind of budget that, but in baseball, you can, you know, it's an unlimited thing, so I'm just not sure how that exactly works, but I'm sure that there was some sort of a clause in there.
And we do call them contracts, correct? Binding legal documents.
Yes.
And like other binding legal documents, there's usually some sort of fine print or writing in there that if you do something along the lines of whatever they write in that contract, then the contract is no longer valid.
Very good point.
Mm-hmm.
Very good point.
So you'd have to think that there would be a way for the team to get out of that contract, but whether or not they do, I think, is the big question here.
Right, and the interesting parallel I make, again, to the NFL is that, you know, frequently, and of course we're going to see this coming up here shortly, we just got done seeing it with the free agency market that pretty much now has concluded in the NFL. We saw it there. We're going to see it again shortly once the draft is over. You're going to, you know, all of us as fans, our eyes are going to be glazing over when we look at these contracts. And here are the numbers on some of these contracts. But in the NFL, we know that a lot of that is all blue smoke and mirrors. In the NFL, a lot of that is front-loaded. It's signings, signing bonuses, and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, hey, so-and-so just signed for $110 million, of which $30 million is guaranteed. Really? Wow. So $110 million. And see, all we as fans are left with is that $110 million. Are you kidding? Well, yeah, but it's not $110 million. It's $30 million because the bottom line is a team can get out of the contract, you know, after the $30 million. So, but
well,
in
and
baseball,
they also have to hit certain stat, like something like they have to get a certain amount of touchdowns or in baseball hits, something to get a bonus. Otherwise, they don't have that money. So there has to be something like that in there.
Right. But the point is, I was going to make was that in baseball, the contracts, you know, like here we are in Philadelphia, we're stuck with Ryan Howard. We, you know, if Ryan Howard were on the Philadelphia Eagles, we could just cut him, and we've got no obligation. See, you know, unless there's something in the contract that would, that would indicate that okay, we haven't met the guarantee yet. But if there was a particular amount of money, then we could cut him and we'd pay off the money and he'd be gone. But with somebody like Ryan Howard in Major League Baseball, we're stuck. It seems that the contracts in Major League Baseball are a lot more binding. But anyhow, I was just curious, the thinking, you know, is it possible that the Angels, and talking about salaries, and I wanted to get to that real quick because I sent you guys over the list from USA Today, which just appeared, it had to be about 2-3 days ago, I guess. In USA Today, 868 players in Major League Baseball and what each and every one of them is being paid. And when you look at these numbers, I'm sorry, guys, it's grotesque. It's positively grotesque.
Mm-hmm.
Clayton Kershaw, $31 million a year, 7 years, $215 million value on that contract. That is disgusting. $215 million? What? That's insanity. You know, this is what I'm saying. We as fans, we have a tendency, you know, Ryan Howard, $25 million a year. That's what we know of it. We look at it that way and we go, oh, $25 million. But when you look at the contract in total, the contract value there was $125 million. $125 million. I'm sorry. I mean, these contracts are completely out of hand. They're just completely out of whack. Alex Rodriguez, another $275 million. $22 million will be paid this year. $22 million this year. And let's see, he's got until 2017. He's still got two more years on his contract.
And what if he doesn't even play? What if he doesn't even play this year? Then he's being paid $22 million to do absolutely nothing because the team can't get rid of his contract.
Exactly. Well, and that's the same situation the Phils have got with the with Ryan Howard. You know, if we can't, you know, Ruben Amaro makes his comments preseason about, well, we kind of think that it would be better for us if Ryan were on a different team. Oh, there's a great comment for you. You think it would be better for the Phils if he weren't on the team, except you can't do anything about it. So what are you going to do? You can't cut the guy. If you cut him, you're still on the hook for his money. So you might as well play him. Alex Rodriguez gets a standing ovation from the crowd yesterday. They said about 80-20. 80-20 were the applause to boos. And here he is in as a DH. That's what he was yesterday. He was a DH. I think you can expect that that's pretty much where you're going to see Alex Rodriguez. I just, you know, when I look at these numbers, it is just, to me, it's absolutely mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. What was I just looking at here? I was just scrolling through real quick. I just wanted to throw out some of these numbers here. You know, we're talking about B.J. Upton. B.J. Upton out there at San Diego. His total contract value, $72,250,000. $72 million for B.J. Upton? Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
And even look at this. I mean, the Pirates, all right, they are ranked 25th, I believe, in all of Major League Baseball for their salary, all right? And they're one of the favorites to win the NL Central and to win the NL. They're one of the favorites. So they go out and they show it. And also for the Royals, they both show that, hey, it can totally, totally be done with a small, small salary cap. And speaking of the Upton brothers there, they're getting paid what you had just said there. And McCutcheon is only getting paid $10 million. Well, I say only 10, but still. $10.2 million, and he's not even the highest-paid Pirate. He's not. Francisco Liriano is at 11.6. He's that's the highest guy, 11.6. That's it. And, I mean, there's all those guys, you know, making $20 million a year. That's crazy to me. That's insane.
Joey Votto from Cincinnati. $14 million a year. He is signed through 2023, guys. 2023, that's eight seasons from now. Total value of the contract, $225 million for Joey Votto. Huh? Yeah. Dan Uggla, 1 year, $13.2 million. Dan Uggla is not worth $13.2 million.
No, he is not.
There might have been a time that Dan Uggla was. Dan Uggla is not worth $13.2 million in 2015. I'm sorry.
Yep. I mean, I think that last season he hit like 180-something, maybe, if that.
Yeah, right. You got it. I mean, you got it. I don't have his numbers right in front of me either, but I think you're right in the ballpark. Pardon the pun. Aramis Ramirez, 1 year for the Brewers, $14 million. Huh? These numbers are absolutely staggering to me. Staggering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're talking about
mid-level,
we're talking about Major League Baseball, which you know, I think a lot of people now generally have indicated, well, NFL is the biggest sport in America now. It has taken over America's pastime. So we're not even talking about the number one sport in America any longer. We're probably talking about the number two sport. And there are some people that would say, well, baseball's slipping so badly, it's very possible it could be the number three sport before long, being overtaken potentially by the NBA. Where in the world are these numbers coming from? I mean, it is mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. You know, and mind you, I'm looking up, let's see here. When I was up looking at, say, Ramirez and what have you, those guys were ranked. Aramis Ramirez is ranked 62nd in the league in salary. Let's get down into the 100s, 150. Let's see, 150 is A.J. Burnett. A.J. Burnett will be paid $8.5 million for 1 year this year with the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yep. And I believe that it was last season that he signed with the Phillies there, and I think it was about a $13 million contract for him for just one season. And the Pirates offered him, I think, $12 million, and he said no because it wasn't enough. I'm like, dude, what do you need more than $12 million for with your life? Like, if somebody offered me that kind of money, I would say, all right, I would do whatever you want. I mean, that's the one thing that I just do not get. Some of these guys are so selfish and so with all their money. I mean, geez, you're getting paid these tens of millions of dollars for playing a game. I mean, it's insane.
It shows a little bit of character with all the players. I mean, like the fact that you're turning down a contract because it's $1 million less than the one that you have. I mean, what happened to just like playing for the fun of the game and also playing to win? I mean, you're taking $1 million. You're taking $1 million. That's it. I mean, again, we say that's it, but I mean, for us, that would be a lot of money, but for them,
yes.
I mean, it's $1 million that you're taking to play on the Phillies, who we've already talked about, absolutely have no chance of making the playoffs this season, as compared to playing for the Pirates, who are a favorite to make the playoffs this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just shows a little bit of character there in these players that, like, you're sacrificing the most important thing of the game, which is to win, just for a little bit of extra money in your pocket.
Yep, I would agree with that. I mean, you even look at, some of the guys here, McCutcheon, for example, he's making, his entire contract is worth, I believe, around $55 million. And that was over about a six-year period, I believe. And he's ranked in the hundreds, I believe 112 here, for all of Major League Baseball. Yet, I think he's the face of Major League Baseball.
Yep.
He's one of the best players. Oh, I believe so, that he should be. And that isn't even – I mean, that is a little bit of bias there, but – I really do think that he is the best face for baseball because of his character, let alone his fantastic ability for the game, but his just the character of him. He shows it night in, night out, not too high, not too low, no trash talk, and just really level-headed and a great guy. He just is. And so that's what really gets me is that these type of guys are making, I mean, that – really, you know, for us, $55 million, that would be awesome. But for them, for that little amount in terms of everyone else there. But you look at A-Rod, what he's making, and no offense, but A-Rod's kind of a jerk. I'm not a big fan of him. And you see what a $275 million contract? Like, I just don't even get it with the whole baseball salary cap and why there's not one. I just don't see it.
You know, you talk about somebody like McCutcheon versus an A-Rod, and you're bringing up all the, you know, the positives of a McCutcheon. One of the positives, and you know, look, I know perhaps maybe I might be talking old school here. Maybe I'm a little Pollyanna here on this whole issue, euphemistic, if you want to refer to it that way. I believe in the concept of athletes as role models.
Yep.
I don't care what anybody says. People say, you know, Charles Barkley, it was Charles Barkley that came out years ago and said, hey, I'm not a role model. I don't want to be a role model. That's not my role to be a role model. Well, yeah, that's all fine and good. But guess what, Charlie? What you don't understand is that kids still nonetheless do look up to you. I remember being a kid. I looked up to some of my sports heroes. They were role models. Can we put Clayton Kershaw, Justin Verlander, Zach Greinke, Josh Hamilton, Ryan Howard, Cliff Lee, Felix Hernandez, Albert Pujols, Robinson Cano, or Prince Fielder in as role models? Maybe two or three of them.
Maybe two or three. Okay.
But where's Andrew McCutchen ranked on the list? You
one
say
player.
In the hundreds?
Yep.
In the hundreds.
Yep. Hundreds.
There's
yep.
a guy that's a role model. That guy's a role mm-hmm. model.
Yep. Yep. And, I mean,
Chase Utley,
who
I believe.
I mean, with that power, in a sense of you being on national television night in and night out, even the regional television, you're on the biggest stage. You're on TV. People are watching you. Of course, you're going to be a role model, whether you like it or not. It's just, it will just happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Whether you like it or not. You know, going back to AJ Burnett, we talk about his, what will he make this year? What will he have this year, Caleb? What, 30 starts maybe? Maybe 30 starts?
Sorry.
30?
Maybe, yeah, if that. I mean, he's like 35, 36, something like that. I mean, he's definitely older. So, yeah, I mean, he might get that, you know. But there's definitely some younger guys gunning after his job. So for a guy that'll make $8.5 million that, you know, this is probably going to be his final season. I mean, is it really, is he really worth that much as a franchise for you
exactly.
to spend that on a mid 30 year old man? I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe it is for them, but for me, I'm saying I don't think it is.
Wow. That's I'm going to tell you something. That's a hell of a payday. That is one hell of a payday.
Yeah,
AJ
sure
Burnett,
is.
AJ Burnett, $283,000 every time he takes the mound for 30 times. $283,000 every time you show up on a field of play. That's
mm-hmm.
just ridiculous.
That's
I'm
insane.
Sorry.
Yep.
That's absolutely
and
insane.
They play once a week. That's like working for an hour and a half in the week, and you get paid $239,000 for working like an hour to an hour and a half once a week.
Some
That'd
of us might see that money by the time we're 80. So,
yeah.
I mean, just to think that they can go out there for hour and a half, 2 hours, play a game, and get paid as much as some people will make in their entire lifetime.
Yep.
Exactly. Exactly. That's, man alive. All right. Well, anyhow, that's the sobering side of sports, folks. Sobering side of it and the sobering side of baseball. I guess that's not baseball. It's all of it. I don't want to run out of time here. So I want to get to our, and if we have time for the other things, I'll come back to them. But one of the things I want to get into is what we're going to start tonight, our Frat House Sports Series Streak Challenge. Now, you're saying, what is this? Well, we always have to do something like this with all of our programs. We have a little challenge going on amongst staff here. And what we're going to do is we're going to pick a series that's going on this coming week. And then each of us will pick the team that we think will win that series. Now, they don't have to win it 3-0 or 4-0. They could win it 2-1. It doesn't matter. You just have to be accurate in picking the right team against the series. And so I thought what we would do is we would start it off tonight. I've got Nick's pick. I already got in touch with Nick, and he gave me his pick for this week. And what we'll do is we'll keep track of this for each week. And I'll even put up a little graphic over on our Frat House Sports page, Frat House Sports Facebook page. Get over there. Check us out on Facebook. We got just about 5 minutes here, gentlemen. And so I thought what we'll do is we'll jump into I'm calling this our Frat House Sports Series Streak Challenge. All right? All right, there you go. Now, Caleb, who you got this week?
Well, for me, you know, there's a lot of interesting series out here. I'm going to have to go with the Rockies over the Cubs. Now that may not be that huge of an upset, but I think that the Rockies are definitely going to be worse off than now the Cubs are, but I really think that the Rockies are going to win that series here on Friday over the weekend.
Is that a home series for the Rockies?
Yes, it is.
Hopefully they don't have any snow.
Very true. Very true.
Sean, who you got?
This might be a little bit of a spite towards Caleb, but I'm actually going to take the Reds over the Pirates this week. I think they got a lot of good production out of their offense in that first game. And if they can keep that up and also keep up some of their the way they closed out that last game, I think that they could possibly take this series. So I'm going to take the Reds over the Pirates.
All right, Reds over the Pirates. I've got Nick's, and Nick is saying, hey, he's going with the Seattle Mariners over those Oakland Athletics. And, well, it's early in the season, so I thought, listen, if the Royals are going to lose some games, they're going to do it early on. So therefore, I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Angels over the Kansas City Royals. All right, there you go. That's our Rat House Sports Series Challenge for this week. I've got the Angels. Nick's got the Mariners. Caleb, you got the Rockies. And Sean's got the Reds. All right, well, be looking for a little graphic that I will put up about that over on our Facebook, our Frat House Sports Facebook page. All right, get over to that. Folks, if you're looking for our Frat House Sports Facebook page, type in Frat House Sports, leave spaces in between. On Facebook, look for our little purple icon, and that's it. Give us a like. Let's see, real quick, before we get out of here, I thought I would bring up one little, a couple little things here real quick. Because I actually wanted to get into doing a brand new segment, but, let's see, we're probably going to run out of time here, so I'll just play the sounder for it anyhow. This will be what we do, our Frat House Mike Screwball Stories, if it'll play. It's not going to play. There it goes.
It's time again for Frat House Mike's Screwball Stories.
Found this one rather interesting. I got to be honest with you, gentlemen, I had to kind of wrap my brain around this one for a moment because I really had to do a lot of thinking. I got to give it to the Philadelphia Phillies. They took it to the next level. Apparently, it was announced just yesterday, I believe, that the Washington Nationals will have the All-Star game for what year? Is it 2018 or is it 2017? Does anybody get the year on that? I know the Nationals give out the All-Star game. I forget what year it is. It's coming up.
2018.
I don't remember either.
2018?
2018.
Okay. All right.
That
well, report,
right. Yeah.
Report also came out that the earliest that the Philadelphia Phillies could get a All-Star game down at Citizens Bank Park, don't look for one before 2026. And I'm sitting there going, huh? 2026? First of all, the ballpark opened in 2004. We probably should have had one by now. We haven't had an All-Star game in Philadelphia since 1996. Why 2026? Well, just so happens it coincides with the 250th anniversary of the United States of America. Yes, that would be 250 years since the Declaration of Independence. Oh, my goodness. I had to really think about that one for a little while. All right. Gentlemen, thank you very much. It's been a lot of fun this evening. This is the way the program will be running from this point forward. I love it. It's all topic-based, and we're just going to run with it this way from this point forward. So many thanks to Ryan Willis for joining us from San Diego, from the What You Talking About Willis Show. Get over there and check that out. It's a podcast, and it's also a Facebook page. Get over to his Facebook page, What You Talking About Willis, and like his Facebook page. And again, thanks, Sean, and thanks to Caleb for joining us here. And thanks to all of you that have been listening this evening. We will be back here with you on Thursday evening for our flagship program, the Frat House Sports Show. And we have special guests coming up with us then, LaSalle Explorers head coach Dr. John Giannini will be joining us on Thursday evening. I am excited about that one. Please make sure you're here with us for that program. Until then, hey, have a good one and enjoy the baseball.